Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasic. You'll find me on X at hashtag Kangas, Instagram hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok hashtag Kangaroos One. So tonight I'm trying something a little bit different. It's very quiet. We're in the heart of the off season. The draft is still a few weeks away. So I thought I'd do something a little bit different today, and it's get to know your guest podcast. So tonight I welcomed Jesse and just asked him a few questions on how he became a North supporter, who are some of his favourite players, favourite games of all time, and some players that he didn't like or rate. So there was a fair few questions. Let's not waste any more of your time and bring on Jesse.
Jesse, welcome back to the show. Now, we are right in the heart of the off-season and not much going on besides the women's team who are coming up to finals. So I'm trying something a bit different and doing a get to know you and how you became a North supporter. So in the words of D-Generation X, are you ready, Jesse?
I am.
Sounds good. Now, we'll start with this. How did you become a North supporter?
Yeah, so I guess growing up, my mum is a North supporter. That's the obvious one. My dad, I think I've said on the show before, is Brisbane. So he's old ex Fitzroy. He's pretty much his whole family are Fitzroy. They grew up in Fitzroy, so they're old Fitzroy fans. So his side, it was all one choice. Mum's side is a mix. It was a split between Carlton and North. And I don't know how I landed on North, to be honest. It would have been a lot of chance. I remember I have this distinct memory of being maybe like 5 years old in one of my grandparents' house, being in the kitchen, and everyone was trying to tell me which club I should go for. And I honestly don't know how I landed on North Melbourne. I had a fair bit to do with my grandparents, my mum's side, lived up in Bendigo, and we lived there for a few years when I was young. So I think just being around my grandpa a fair bit, and he was a pretty strong North supporter. I think that's what probably got me that way. Otherwise, I probably would have ended up Brisbane. I think that was the huge influence on me. It's funny though. So I'm born in 92, so I'm 32 next year. So I obviously grew up through pretty golden era, though I was pretty young to 96, obviously, I don't have any memories of. 99, I was at the Melbourne show on the day of the grand final, and I saw fans and I asked who won, and we had won. So that's how much I knew at the time. I don't think I actually properly started following football. My parents were big, but my dad in particular was a big, big Brisbane fan, but I don't think they really started. They didn't really push it on me. I think it wasn't until I lived, I think I got to about grade 5, and I was living in Lancefield, if you know where that is, about an hour and a half north of Melbourne, in between Melbourne and Bendigo, probably an hour north of Melbourne. So in between Melbourne and Bendigo, so I lived in the country pretty much through all the end of primary school and all of high school. And when I moved there, obviously, you know, it was very sports orientated. All the kids were playing sports. So that kind of really jumped me into football. So that would have been around the early 2000s, which was unfortunately the real decline of North. That's how I landed on North. Otherwise, it would have been ended up being Brisbane, which probably the net result would have ended up being better. Mm-hmm. But you don't look back at those things.
No, that's it. You ended up on his podcast at the end of the day. So
that's
you
wouldn't have absolutely been right.
Yeah. No, Brisbane had the golden era in, between 2001 and 2004. And it's starting to come good now. I obviously just missed out on a flag this year. But, I think you picked the right way. So, and how long have you been a member for now, Jesse?
Oh, geez, I was trying to work this out today in prep for the show, because I don't think on our membership portal, when you log in, it doesn't really tell you much. It just kind of tells you do you want to renew, here's how much you owe. You obviously get that letter that gets sent out to you that says thank you for being a member for X amount of years. It would have been... Would have been early 2000s. It would have been early 2000 and maybe 10 or so. So it'd be 13, 14. No, I think, no, sorry. No, it's a little bit longer than that. I think it's 20. I think it's 15 years. I think it's on 15 years. Obviously, I didn't have a membership during like the start of high school and that. It would have been, yeah, probably 2007-ish that I got a membership. Yeah, so it's been a while, and I've been a member ever since. Obviously, this just the stock standard member. This year I upgraded, got caught up in the Clarko wave, and I upgraded pretty early before as soon as they opened up the renewals last year. Become a Premiership Club member, so I used that a fair few times this year, which was fantastic. It was nice to get into an area that was dedicated for North. When you generally go to a game, that's not the case given our size. But it's nice to be able to get in on that. Pay for that. I'm also lucky enough to be an MCC member. Not that really helps North, me for the North side of things, but that's helped me a bit go to the finals and stuff that we have played, which is great.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. I mean, I did the same as you. Got sucked in a bit to the Clarko thing and upgraded to the Premiership Club. It's definitely worth it. It's a good area to sit, and you can get there nice and early if you can get to games, and you can certainly interact with presidents and so forth into that little bar they've got at Etihad Stadium. I can't the name escapes me. Now, there's been a lot of talk in the last probably week that a lot of supporters were complaining that they've already done a deduction for the 2024 memberships, and they weren't aware that no one told them. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, no. So I was looking at this today. Obviously, I logged into the portal, like I said, when to work out when I had started my membership, not that it told me. And it's not a very clear thing. I'll definitely be giving them some feedback. It had on there all this money that I had to, it has your pending balance. For me, I've got my AFLW membership. I've got my AFL membership. I also bought one of those digital passes because it was a cheaper way of getting KO. So I bought one of those last year, which saved me a little bit of money on KO. So that's all sitting there. I did see a payment had already gone out, I think, this month, earlier this month. I think it was the first $100 or whatever. Mine might be on a monthly repayment. You reckon they could have given a bit more notice. That and I think they merged it, so then you log in with your Ticketmaster account now. It was a bit screwy in on the login. So hopefully, you would have hoped that they, would have probably communicated that a little bit better. But yeah.
Yeah, I did because I thought my account got hacked because all of a sudden I had about $730 taken out. And I said, well, what the hell's going on here? And then I looked at it, said North Melbourne membership and so forth. So I said, oh, okay, that must I haven't looked too – I haven't gone into my account or anything like that. So I probably should because I assume I've gone with the same membership as last year, which I would have done anyway this year with the Premiership Club and obviously the AFLW possibly as well. On top of that, so yeah, it's interesting. Hopefully they rectify that, because you don't want to, people live by week by week. Some people that they can't afford the luxury of just getting $300 or $200, whatever membership they've got taken out without any warning, really. Oh, so
exactly right. Yeah, look, and I don't think our portal's been overly clear for years. I had an issue where they stuffed me up last year, and I got a letter saying, thank you for joining for your first year. And I said, well, that's not right. And they go, oh, we've accidentally created two accounts for you. And yeah, it was a bit of a mess. But look, they're pretty good to deal with for anyone who hasn't had to call up. If you have any issues, definitely call the club up. The guys and girls on the phone over at the club are generally pretty good at sorting you out. And I'd definitely recommend giving them a call if you have any problems.
Yeah, I know a couple of times because I obviously changed my card number a couple of years ago. And they keep ringing me every year sort of saying, oh, we've got this old card. Do you want us to get rid of it? The old number. We've got the new one updated. And I said, yeah, just get rid of it. But they still keep ringing me. So, it's all good. We'll get back on track anyway. Who have been some of your favourite players over that time?
God, it's a great question. I struggled going through this today. So, look, I guess in terms of some of my favourite players, look, the first one for me was Jess Sinclair for obvious reasons, because of the name. So that's the first player I distinctly remember when I started actively watching football, as I said, in the early 2000s that I remember, because of the name. So I had his number on my back. He was my first, main player that I was really a big fan of. It's hard to go past Boomer, obviously. You know, if you were someone who grew up in the 90s, 2000s, and even half of the 2010s, you were pretty lucky to see Boomer Harvey. And he was able to do a massive amount in his time at the club. But he was a really nice guy. You know, I met him a few times. He was a ripping guy. He's done some stuff through my work as well. So I've got to meet him through work a couple of times. But he's a ripper. There was a couple interesting ones for me. So I had a soft spot for Ben Brown for a long period of time. I think because we hadn't had a power forward for a while in terms of that dominant. You know, we'd had your Nathan Thompsons, your Drew Petries, etc. But Ben Brown was, we're talking about a guy who kicked 60 goals 3 years in a row. He was very consistent over three seasons. And I think just the fact of him kind of coming to, you know, coming to his career, into his career, playing finals, really. I'll talk about this in one of my favourite games, obviously the 2014 elimination final against Essendon, and him having a real impact on that game, which was fantastic. So, you know, I had a real soft spot for Benny. Robbie Tarrant was another one for me who I really liked. I was lucky enough to talk to Robbie early on in his career, just as he got drafted to North. I knew a couple of people that were friends with him. I was really impressed with what he was able to do with his career. I think he's the ultimate example of a player who, you know, tried to play a few different positions, didn't really work out for him, kind of looked like he was on, you know, the cutting block. His fitness probably wasn't there. His body wasn't allowing him to play. And then there was that fateful game where we had to pick in a preseason where they obviously him and Tippett trained down back after Buddy had killed us the year before in 2014. And I think it was, 2015, we were picking out of one of those guys to go down back. I think we went with Tippett round one against Walker over in Adelaide. And I think he put 7 on him. I don't think Tarrant missed another game other than from injury. Played the next week and didn't look back. So I'm really impressed with what he did in his career. It's a funny one because I do definitely have a list of players who are my favourite around the league. I'm a real big fan of, for example, like Zach Bailey at Brisbane. I just like how he goes about it. Jack Steele's one of my favourite players. I tend to go for the real inside bulls in terms of inside contested bulls. I love class on the outside, but maybe just because North hasn't had a whole heap of that for a period of time, I really like the inside. So I think if you honestly asked me who my favourite player is and I looked at all of the different eras that I've watched, I'd find it hard to go past Ben Cunnington. I just really appreciated how he went about it. You know, a lot of strife, a lot of difficulty towards the end of his career. You know, he's a player when we drafted him in his first season, they pretty much said, why did North pick him? We should have taken Gary Rowan. We need more speed. We didn't need Ben Cunnington. A lot of negative about him. I don't know if I've seen a better player with as good a fend-off. I think his fend-off is better than Dusty's. Just doesn't have the whole game that Dusty had. But someone who was that tough, that good of a fend-off, played some good finals games, had the cancer not happened, he was in some really, really, really good form pre that. I think some people might forget just because, you know, he probably came into his best when North started our fall after 2016. And I think, you know, if you look at his stats over the late teens and the early 2000s, probably the late teens more, he put on some huge numbers. That game against St. Kilda, I think in round one of the COVID year, pretty much won the game for us in the last quarter. Kick goals. It's just a shame what happened because, I think he was an absolute superstar. I just loved how he went about it. He didn't compromise.
No, he was very unsociable. But, when we started this rebuild under David Noble, we're going okay in that first year. And he was a big part of it. And he was going to be, leading the charge because he was the most experienced player. And if that cancer diagnosis, the second one, didn't happen, he'd still be playing now. And he'd probably still be playing good football, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. Completely agree. Look, I think he was a pretty special player for us. He didn't have all the bells and whistles, like I said. You know, he didn't have the outside class, but what he was able to do, I always found really, really impressive. They're probably the ones for me. As I said, I've commentated on ones towards the more recent times, or at least, so some from our best modern memories, but some through the tough times as well. So they've been my favourite over the years, in days gone past.
No, fair enough. What about current day favourite players or player?
Yeah. So, look, I think my favourite is Nick Larkey and LDU. In terms of my favourite, I've got socks for both of them. So I'm a big fan of the SUV and LDU. I love how LDU goes about it. He's the closest thing we've had to a superstar midfielder in a very long time in terms of a complete package midfielder. Nick Larkey, I have a lot of respect for how he goes about his game. I just find him a very, very impressive forward. I think the most impressive thing about him, and I've said this multiple times, is the fact that he plays in our side. It'd be the most difficult side to play as a forward. We give zero supply. We can't kick a football. And somehow he all Australians and kicks as many goals as he did. So really, really happy with Nick Larkey. I was a big fan of Taron Thomas. That might have waned a little bit, but... in terms of those two, they're probably the two main ones. I am a fan of Wardlaw and Sheasel, obviously. That's pretty hard to go by. I didn't really want to jump on their bandwagon because I think every North fan has. I'm going to go with, over the two of them, I'm going to go with Wardlaw, because I think Sheasel gets all of the credit and all of everything. But there's just something about Wardlaw that I think looks really, really different. There's just some beast about him, and I think that's really impressive. So, there's definitely some players at the club that I have high hopes for in terms of what they can do. There's a few. I have been a big Zerha fan. I don't think he had the year that he would have liked, but I am a big fan of his once, when he can actually get in the form that he needs to get in. They're probably the main ones for me in terms of the modern lot that we've got. There's a few coming through who I think have a lot of potential and I really enjoy playing. There's definitely some players that I would prefer us playing than giving games to some other people. And I think that will happen less and less going forward. Bailey Scott, I'm a big fan of what he was able to do over the last few years. Very consistent. They're probably the main ones for me. They're probably the main ones for me, I think.
No, fair enough. Yeah, Wardlaw is very much Clayton Oliver type. Very hard and tough at the contest. Hopefully he doesn't follow his path off the field. like he has been in the last few months. But, very similar player to him. Harry Sheasel's obviously got a little bit of Nick Dacos about him. Very lovable sort of player. I think everyone's on that bandwagon. So, good to go something a little bit different with a Bailey Scott. So, very good. Best player or players you've ever seen at North? I think you mentioned Ben Cunnington probably would be right up there. You would have been probably a bit too young for the Wayne Carey era.
So. Yeah, look, I caught the back end of... So, look, as I said, I watched a lot of the highlights from the 90s. I claimed 99 and 96 because I was a North fan. I had made my decision to be North. But unfortunately for me... So the first game that I can remember watching and actually having a negative impact to losing in terms of emotions was North Melbourne in a final in the early 2000s. I don't remember if it was 2001 or 2000, but I remember playing. That might have been 2000 actually.
2000.
Yeah, so that's the first game that I distinctly remember. So I kind of call that my year, and that's probably a little bit too late for Carey. So unfortunately, my first active memory of watching a game with Carey in it involving North was, Marvel Stadium punch up. So, love what he was able to do. Best player that I've seen in highlight from highlights as a North player. Arguably one of the best players of all time. I don't have him first. I know some, like, you know, Mike Shannon did, for example. I have him in my top five, if not top three. But yeah, look, he was, you know, really, really impressive what he was able to do. I think, you know, you got to give props to McKernan as well, Corey. So, you know, should have won a Brownlow as a ruckman. It would have been, I think, the last tall player to actually win it if had he got it. So, yeah, look, they were two of the really impressive ones for me. We were kind of lacking during the 2000s. So, you know, in terms of the best player we had during the 2000s, it's probably a tough gig. You know, we had your Anthony Stevens, your Adam Simpsons, you know, Drew Petries, et cetera, which were all really good players. But, yeah, I mean, if you judge it on something like All Australians, you know, other than Park Boomer from this discussion, I don't know who's had the most All Australian jackets for us. Sean Higgins got it once. He was pretty decent. Yeah, hopefully Halaki can get a few.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, we haven't had many in the last 5 or 6 years, that's for sure. Well, Larky got one this year, and he would have been the first since probably, I don't know, probably Boomer Harvey in 2016 or something like that.
Yeah,
so.
I think Drew Petrie got it 1 year on the bench.
Oh, maybe. I'm not even too sure.
I think Drew got one on the bench 1 year. The year that he kicked 50-plus as the ruckman, as the backup ruckman slash forward. So I think he got that once. But, yeah, look, I don't know how many we got in the 2000s. It definitely was slim pickings. So, yeah, look, in terms of the best of, I've seen, they would have been some of the people. As I said, probably consistently over the last 10-ish years. You know, your Ben Cunnington is probably one that comes to mind. Jack Zeeble definitely had a really good period. There was a couple of years in particular that I thought he played some really solid football. Yeah, they're probably the main ones that come for me. As I said, Wayne I probably just missed out on. Did get to watch a lot, you know, a lot of Simo and that, which was really good. You know what? I've completely skipped over the main one. If you were to ask me who I think the best North player is, not my favourite, but the best North player I've seen in my time, but it's Todd Goldstein. I've skipped over him already. See, he's donning the sash, and I've completely disowned him. He would have been the best North player. Someone who was an All Australian ruckman. He went through a down period. He came back. He played the best game I've ever seen a ruckman play, which was against, I think it was against Essendon. Had 220 super coach points or something absurd like that. He was probably the best, to be honest. He was consistently good, probably up until this year. Consistently good throughout his career. Just showed up every week. Leads the comp now. Leads the stats for most hitouts ever. Can't believe I went over him. But yeah, look, he's probably the best I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, he carried our club during those successful years under Brad Scott. You know, 2014, 2015, he made a midfield look a lot better than probably what it was. And yeah, I think he'd be top three, top five, at least in the last 20 years before Carey and so forth. So yeah, no, that's a fair call. I think I wouldn't begrudge anyone for putting him right up the top. Of that list, to be honest with you, in the last 20, 25 years. And he's probably our best ever ruckman, to be honest with you. But, yeah, we've kind of forgotten about him because he's gone to Essendon now, so we don't rate him anymore. So
a bit unfortunate. But, it is just how it works. Look, I made a comment to my mate who was an Essendon supporter the other week. I said that there's very little players that I begrudge when they move on to another club. I think I've said this on the show before. You know, some people get pretty upset about it. If a player's given you their whole for their career, I don't really, you know, it does lose a little bit if they don't become a one club player, but I'm happy for someone to go and try and chase some success or if they're going to get a few more years at a club. So it doesn't affect it for me. Great player of our club. Same as, Mackay, good luck to him. Nothing negative against him. There's very few players who have left that I've been genuinely annoyed with because of the reasons they've left.
Yeah, I mean, the only one that comes to mind is probably Jason or Francis.
Yeah.
I got over it pretty quick, but, he kind of took a really soft option.
Yeah, look, I completely agree. That was one that hurt because it was during our, you know, one of our worst periods. We brought him on and he was this shining hope. You know, I'd watched all his games in the Sandford the year coming and I knew we were going to take him. And for the first half of that season, it was amazing. It was a great ride. And then it just went downhill so badly. And look, you definitely get over it. You watch a game and you look at him and, I think I've said I actually felt sorry for him during a lot of games because I just don't understand why the rest of the comp was booing him. I think actually the North fans, albeit there wasn't a lot down in Hobart, but probably the North players or the North fans treated him better than he's been treated in the majority of the other games. I thought it was pretty disappointing other clubs having a go at him for making the decision he did. Look, I think that one was massively offset by the fact that the next year we brought in Sheasel and Wardlaw. So that kind of, you know, I think that made the whole thing a little bit easier and a bit of a win-win. I think he'll win a Brownlow medal. I think he's a superb player. I think he will he be a better player than Harry Sheasel or Wardlaw? Probably. That's my general opinion. I think he's very Dangerfield-esque. I think he can do things that other players can't do. But ultimately, if he doesn't want to be at your club, you can't do anything about it. And there's no point holding a grudge against it unless you get absolutely screwed in the trade. And I think we ended up turning it into a win-win. So I think it's just one of those ones that you wish that it hadn't turned out how it did, but you just move on from it.
No, that's right. It's like an ex-girlfriend now. You can't, you see him on it every now and then, but you can't dwell on it. You have to move on and move on with your life. And like you said, we've got Wardlaw and Sheasel out of it in that draft, so it's worked out pretty well. I'm interested to get your answer in the next one. Any players that you didn't like or rate?
Yeah, that's I found that one a really interesting question because my name I definitely gravitated to a few. So, you know, I appreciate the contribution of any player who played for our club. It's a tough game, and we sit here as people who don't play football at the top level criticizing players who play. But you know, that's our role as fans. We pay the money. I guess we got a right to do that. In terms of recent years, I think you could tell I wasn't a massive fan of Daniel Howe this year. I think that's probably not a surprise to anyone listening. Jack Marnie, I wasn't a big fan of from day one. Didn't think he really offered a whole lot. So there's definitely been a few over the last few years that we've drafted that I just thought didn't show much at all. Gibson is an interesting one in terms of... Well, I was going to say Josh Gibson for a minute, but I quite liked him once he went to Hawthorn, and I think I got over the fact that he left North. Sam Gibson is one for me. Played way too many games for mine and couldn't kick a football. That's probably a bit rough on him, but I think he played 130 games for North. The biggest disappointment of a player for me, Sean Attlee. He played what? He played 200 games, 250 games maybe. He played a lot of games. He was Brad Scott's love child. That's how I scare all my Essendon mates. I go, you know, they've got a couple of players that they just keep asking why Brad Scott's playing him. I go, well, that's the Sean Attlee of your club, unfortunately. Look, I remember in his draft year, huge hype. We couldn't believe that he had, you know, dropped to us. Thought we were on, meant to be the next Chris Judd. Most he averaged in his career was 20 disposals, and that was in 2019. Didn't do a hell of a lot more. I think he'll be always remembered for his kicking or lack of ability to kick. So he was the biggest disappointment for me because I thought that he could do a lot more. In terms of other players that I think I've given you ones I didn't rate. In terms of ones that I didn't like, I don't know if there's any that I don't like. It is a really tough question. I don't know if there's any that you can think of that you actively haven't liked. Because generally, if you don't like them, they're probably either A, left or B, on the way out.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Probably wrong choice of words like didn't like or anything like that. I mean, generally, you support, you know, I mean, so, like you said, you got your Sean Attlees and some other players like Jamie McMillan was a bit of a whipping boy. There's whipping boys in at your club every year. So, and this year it was very much Daniel Howe. So
it is, and you don't want to fall into the the trap of, and every single club has one. You don't want to fall into the trap of that. And look, to be fair, I don't think it is genuinely, I don't think genuinely the whipping boy gets a. Is always the person you should be blaming. I think there's always other players that can really, use some focus. But yeah, look, I think Attlee's probably the main one for me, just because of really of his kicking. I'm trying to think of anyone else that I haven't actively liked playing for North Melbourne, or just haven't enjoyed watching them play. Wasn't a big Scott McMahon fan, I have to admit. Got the job done, but got the job done somewhat. I wasn't a huge Sam Knight fan, albeit one of my favourite moments. Obviously, had Sam Knight, but I think there's a few players, especially during the Brad Scott era in the early years, that I think showed some promise in maybe their first 20, 30 games, and then Brad Scott continued to play them for another 200 when that. They hadn't really shown anything else. Probably had a lot to do with their development. If you were to ask me who my least favourite North Melbourne person is, I could give you an easy, easy answer. Our former list manager a few years back, going back probably 10 years now, and then our head of football. What's he doing these days? He's at the Gold Coast now, I think.
Coaching Gold Coast, Cam Joyce.
Yeah, Cam Joyce. Jeez, I have not a nice thing to say about him. And that's because I think the mess we're in has a large part to do with him. So, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that probably know him, and I'm sure he's a ripping bloke. But, yeah, at least me, from personal level, hold a bit of a resentment for where we're at for Cam Joyce.
Yeah, I have heard that he's actually quite a nice guy.
And I'm sure a lot of these people are, to be fair. We're not criticising anyone, just to be careful to anyone. We're not, if you happen to be related to him, we're not criticising anyone as a person. I think most people genuinely are pretty good people in this industry. There's a minority that make a bad name for the code. But in terms of some of the things, decisions he's made, unfortunately, I think that we're seeing what that means now.
No, that's exactly right. It's catching up to us pretty hard now at the moment. So we're just trying to get through that period. We'll move to a more positive. Favourite game of all time?
Yeah, look, so there was a couple that came to mind for me. I think the main one, which is probably going to be no surprise, but the main one that came to me is the 2014 elimination final. And I might be gravitating a little bit to that just because it's obviously one of the more recent ones. But yeah, probably the 2014-2015 elimination finals, because they were against big clubs. I enjoyed that even more. Being against Richmond and Essendon, you were in the minority group being there. So I really, really enjoyed those wins. Probably more so than Geelong the week after, to be honest, in the 2015 or 2014 semi. Just because they were elimination finals, they felt like genuine chances of winning, so you were nervous going into them compared to some of the finals in the late 2000s that we just got absolutely spanked in. And they were just against clubs that you just wanted to beat. So those two were probably the two of the big ones for me. Outside of finals, I've got some memories of there was a game against the Doggies in the about 2006-05. I distinctly remember because I was watching with my grandpa, and Drew Petrie, I think, put five or six goals on in the first quarter. That one I have a distinct memory of. I had some close dog supporters probably over the last 10 years or so who were a pain in the ass. So any of the wins against the Dogs were good. That round 2016, when we started the year, absolutely hot, and we beat them by about 10 points. Waite had a good game. So we had some good games against the Doggies, which I was happy with. There's been some good ones. We've had some, we've been pretty unlucky the last few years, but we've had some games. The Richmond one last year meant a lot just because of how crap a year it had been. So that one was pretty emotional to get it over, done in a fighting fashion. Probably the best of the most recent ones in our down period was the West Coast game over in Perth. That's probably my favourite of the most recent ones. Yeah, unfortunately, not a lot to celebrate. You know, when you're talking about this year and you win the first two and then the last one, yeah, there's not really a lot to go by, unfortunately.
No, that's right. What do we want, about 12 games in the last 80 or something like that? So, yeah, there's not many. It's very slim pickings in the last couple of years. But, yeah, what can you do, I guess? So what are you hoping to see in 2024 now, Jesse?
Yeah, look, I think I've said this a few times. I've been, you know, I'm probably pretty realistic in terms of what we can achieve next year. I think, you know, we've got to be realistic that we're a fair way back. And I think a lot of fans, I don't know how, but probably aren't of the, you know, aren't, don't understand how probably far back we are. I don't see this getting immediately better, unfortunately. I think next year could still be a pretty poor year. You know, I'd be hoping to get between 4 and 6 wins as opposed to 3. You know, ideally 5 or 6 wins would be a bit of an improvement. You see some clubs. Adelaide's a good one. Should have really played finals this year. You know, we were playing off against them pretty much for a wooden spoon a couple of years ago. And all of a sudden, they, you know, they're flying. And there was a few years back when I think it was the LDU year, so we're going back a little while, 2017, I think that is, where we played Brisbane for the wooden spoon. And now look where they are. So a club can turn it around. I think Brisbane is the ultimate example of a club that was poor for a very long period of time and then just flicked the switch and have been consistently playing finals since and have a very young team with a lot of young quality midfielders who are going to walk into it over the next few years because of the father-son program. So they're going to be good for a while. They've had the advantage of having an academy. They've brought some great players in from the academy. They've got the advantage of they've had some good father-sons. And look, being in Brisbane, you're able to get a certain amount of talent from locals. Getting Lachie Neale there kind of helps a fair bit. Well, I think he's Adelaide-born, but that kind of helps getting a Brownlow medalist walk in the door. We don't have the same advantages, so it is tougher. But you can turn it around very quick. Adelaide's done it, albeit again, have the advantage of being a South Australian club, so you get South Australian talent. But a club can turn it around fairly quickly, and you never know, and that's probably the main thing, that we won't know that we can how much we're going to improve until we actually improve.
No, exactly. We've got Zach Fisher, so you never know. They got Lachie Neale, we got Zach Fisher, so... Yeah, it's not. Things are looking up. But in saying all that, when do you think we can compete for another flag or at least the top four finish?
Yeah, so look, I guess 24 next year, you'd be looking for probably another year of struggle for mine. I think 25, 26, we can start making a fair push up towards the finals. So I think challenging for finals could be probably 27-ish. So if you ask me top four, it's probably going to be 28, 29. I know that's still 6 years away, so it's a fair while. But if we did it any quicker, I'd be happy. But look, I think in terms of your question, which is when can we challenge another flag, it will be towards the end of the decade. Unless, and this is the big unknown with all of the, you know, with the assistance package we got, the number of picks we have this year, we could bring in a whole heap of players that, you know, completely change the club and turn it around and create something that we, you know, that we just don't necessarily have at the moment. So look, there's definitely a chance to turn it around. I, you know, fingers crossed we do. But yeah, I think trying to be, you know, realistic, it's probably looking, you know, more towards that, you know, that late in the decade period, 28, 29 at the earliest for mine.
Yeah, I think Tassie will be in a competition by then too. So that might make it even more compromised by then. So yeah, we'll see how we go. But yeah, look, I mean, best case scenario would be 2026, I would have to think, or something around there. And that's if everything falls right. So yeah, it's going to be, 2024. I mean, you certainly hope for a bit of an improvement, and then 2025 we can certainly be pushing for a final spot without really challenging for a flag, and then 2026, who knows after that. And like you said, it can turn around very quickly. Some teams have been able to turn it around. I don't think this time 2 years ago we would have picked the Pies for a flag. They were right near us towards the bottom of the ladder, and now look at them. They've won a premiership not long ago. So, yeah, and they're looking really good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyways, Jesse, that's all I have for you. Did you want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, all good. Thanks again for having me. I think it's a good idea to get some of the regulars onto the channel and get to know them a little bit better. Obviously get a great opportunity to talk with you on the regular. And, it's nice to hear everyone's different stories about how they've ended up here. And, you know, we're all in the same spot now. It's a rough time, but we'll make it through and, you know, we'll be the ones laughing hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah, 2029, only 6 years away, Jesse. So I'll be a half century off by then. Well, that's it, exactly right. So, yeah, we just got to be a bit more patient for a little bit longer. Well, Jesse, really well summed up at the end there. I really appreciate coming on the show. It was good to get to know you a bit more and how you became a North supporter and some of your favourite players and some of the players that you didn't rate. I did know about Daniel Howe. I think everybody on X knew about Daniel Howe. But, I really appreciate you coming on the show. And, yeah, I'll chat to you. You're going to Europe soon, I think. So, yeah, I guess in the next few months.
Yeah, look, absolutely. We'll definitely catch up again soon. What date's the draft this year?
It's November something. It's usually might be even late November, early December.
Monday the 20th. So I'll be here for a week after that. So I've got a week to savor what we go through, which I enjoy. So maybe we can do a post-draft catch-up, go through everything. But, exciting time ahead with the draft.
Yeah, I didn't realise that, actually. I thought it was a bit later than that.
Yeah, I think it generally is.
Yeah, it is, yeah, generally. But, definitely get you back on after that to get your thoughts. Until then, Jesse, you enjoy whatever you're doing. Enjoy work and... you don't get a long weekend this weekend. I think you told me you're working Monday. But, I'll chat to you in the next few weeks anyway.
All good. Thank you for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
So thank you very much to Jesse for coming on. And it was a pleasure getting to know him a little bit more because, when we jump on the podcast, it's pretty much straight to business. We're talking about the games and review and all that sort of thing. So it was good to get to know him on a personal level and just have a bit of a fun episode. Anyways, that's it for tonight. So I will be back probably later in the week. I am looking to get a guest on from the AFLW. I'm not too sure if that's confirmed yet. So you should get another episode later in the week, possibly Thursday. So we'll see how we go with that. But anyways, thank you very much to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for the show. It's much appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support. So if you can leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform you use as well, that would be awesome. Anyways, that's it. So, like I said, I'll be back later in the week, hopefully. If not, I'll be back next week to talk about the women's game that's happening on Saturday at Witten Oval. Get down and watch them. And tonight, I will leave a shout-out to Dr. Sonia Hood at Sonia_Hood at X. Bye for now, and go Roos.